Dads and ladies, welcome to the Junior Classics.
Hi there, I'm Sir Bradley Hassey, a teller of borrowed tales. Join me as I share stories of courage, adventure, and wonder. But don't take my word for it. You can find out for yourself on today's Junior Classic.
I thought you could do better than this.
Blow, brother, blow.
Brothers, let us decide this wager forthwith.
With this ring, I shall never want for gold.
Greetings, Junior Scholars. I am Sir Bradley Hassey, Guardian of the Written Word, and your guide through the Junior Classics. Our mission is to safeguard the classics and inspire children to a love of good reading and a real and lasting interest in literature and history. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us, and a very special thank you to my loyal listeners who tune in each and every episode, and especially my Patreon supporters who help keep the show going and growing. If you like what we are doing, creating stories for the good of your kids, consider supporting me on Patreon for $5 a month. Today, we continue with the Northern Saga, how Loki made a wager with the dwarves. But before we get to the story,
lost and found words!
Listen carefully to these words and their meanings and try and spot them during the story. Our first word today is wager with a W, wager. This means to risk money or a valued item against someone else's on the basis of an outcome of an unpredictable bet. Did you get all that? So in simpler terms, this is a gamble or taking a chance or simply a bet. Our next word today is a sail with an A, a sail. This means to launch an attack. You could also say assault, pounce on, or lay into. Our next word is contempt with a C, contempt. This is the feeling that a person or thing is beneath consideration, worthless, or deserving scorn. You could also say disgust, hatred, or ridicule. Our next word is hinder with an H, hinder. This means to create difficulties for someone or something, resulting in delay or obstruction. So you could also say hamper, halt, or restrict. And our last word today is ransom with an R, ransom. This is a sum of money or other payment demanded or paid for the release of a prisoner. You could also say payoff, payment, or price. That's all for today's Lost and Found Words. Now on to the show. Loki made a wager with the dwarves. A most mischievous and tricky god was Loki, always on the lookout to play some wicked prank, which was sure to bring trouble upon himself or others. It was indeed a wonder that the other Asas put up with him so long in Asgard. But then you see, he was Odin's brother. One day, when Loki was looking about him for diversions, he saw asleep in the sunlight Sif, the beautiful wife of Thor the Thunderer. Now Sif was noted among all the dwellers in Asgard for her glorious hair, which hung down to her heels and was like a thick web of golden silk. When she stood up, it covered her like a cloak, and when she lay down, it was like a golden coverlet. And Thor, her husband, thought it was the most beautiful thing in all the habitation of the gods. Now mischievous Loki saw her sleeping under the gleaming mass of golden web, and he took a pair of sharp scissors and cut it all off close to her head, so that she looked quite bald and ugly. When Thor came home and saw what had happened, he was wild with fury, and guessing at once who had done the deed, he stamped off to find Red Loki, vowing that he would break every bone in his body. Then Loki, when he heard the thunder of Thor's tramp and saw the lightning flash from his angry eyes, he was terrified and attempted to change himself into another shape. But before he could do so, The wrathful god had gripped him by the throat and was shaking the life out of him.
Let me go! Let me go! Ugh!
Gasped Loki.
And I will bring new hair for Sif ere the daylight's gone.
Go then. But mind, if you break your word, you will have not only to reckon with me, but with Odin and Frey as well.
Then giving Loki a last shake, he sent him flying over the battlements and down the Rainbow Bridge like a falling star. Now Loki was terrified at the result of his trick, and dread of the punishment that Odin might have in store for him when he returned with the hair began to assail him. So he determined to take back with him two presents, one for his mighty brother and one for Frey, the god of the golden sunshine. Leaping onto the earth, he quickly made his way through a hillside into the depths of the mountains, never stopping till he reached the dark and gloomy district of Dwarfland. For a time, Loki could see nothing, though he heard on every side the tapping hammers and heaving bellows of the little men. Presently, however, he distinguished a tiny furnace with its burning flame, and saw by its light a little squat figure, who pulled off his peaked cap and asked the visitor what he wanted.
I want you to make me three gifts, one for Odin and one for Frey, and the third must be golden hair that will grow upon Sif's head.
Now the dwarfs were anxious to keep on good terms with the gods, who could protect them against the giants. And so when they heard Loki's request, they readily agreed to make three things. Accordingly, they set to work upon a pile of golden nuggets, and spun from them a mass of the finest gold thread, so smooth and soft that it looked like the loveliest hair. This they gave to Loki, telling him that directly it touched the head of Sif, it would become as a natural growth.
Now, give me something for Odin,
said Loki, well pleased. So the dwarfs set to work again, and presently fashioned the spear called Gungnir, which, however badly it might be aimed, was always sure to go straight to its mark. Loki gratefully took the spear, and there now only remained the gift for Frey. The dwarfs thought a while, and then set to work upon a ship, which when pressed together would fold up and go into one's pocket, but which, when allowed to expand, would hold all the gods in Asgard and their horses, would sail through the air as well as on water, and would always get a favorable wind directly from the hoisted canvas. Loki was immensely pleased with these gifts, and went away, declaring loudly that his dwarf friends were the cleverest smiths in all the world. Now, it so fell out that his words were heard by another dwarf named Brock, who came and stood in his way, and looked with scorn at the ship and the spear and the golden web which he carried in his hands.
A clumsy lot of things you have there. Why, my brother Sindri could make gifts that are far more wonderful than those.
My head against yours that he could not,
said Loki, getting angry.
Done,
chuckled Brock with a leer. And forthwith, they made their way to the underground cave where Sindri was at work in his forge. Now Sindri was quite ready to take up the challenge, but only on the condition that Brock would blow the bellows for him. Loki now began to feel uneasy, for he had hoped the dwarf would decline to compete when he heard what were the gifts he had to improve upon. But Sindri only wagged his long beard at them contemptuously, and Loki's head began to tremble for the result of his wager. So he determined to try and hinder the work. Meantime, Sindri had thrown a pigskin into the furnace, and had gone outside to find a magic charm, saying as he went,
Blow, brother, blow, with all thy might till I return, and stay not thy hand for an instant.
Directly Loki heard this, he changed himself into a great stinging fly, and lighting on Brock's hand, he stung him with all his might. But the dwarf never stopped blowing, though he stamped and roared with pain, Then Sindri returned, and going to the furnace, drew it from a golden boar of great size, which had the power of flying through the sky and scattering light from his golden bristles as he flew. But Brock did not know all this, and looked somewhat scornfully at the gift, saying,
"I thought you could do better than this."
"Wait a bit," said Sindri.
And with that, he threw a lump of gold upon the fire and went out, charging his brother not to stop blowing for an instant. Then in flew Loki again, still disguised as a gadfly, and lighted on Brock's neck and stung him so that the blood flowed. But though the dwarf yelled with pain, he did not cease blowing. When Sindri returned, he pulled out of the fire a fine gold ring, and this ring was made in such a marvelous fashion that every ninth night, 9 other rings would drop from it, so that its owner would be the richest being in the world. But Brock did not know all this, and only growled.
"Wait a bit,"
said Sindri again, and this time he threw a lump of iron on the fire, once more going out, and urging his brother, as he went, to be specially careful this time, or he would spoil all. Then in flew Loki, and lighted between Brock's eyelids, stinging them so that the blood poured down and blinded him. Raising his hand for a second, the dwarf dashed away the blood, and just for that instant, he ceased to blow. Presently, Sindri was back again, saying gloomily that what lay in the furnace came nigh to being spoilt. Then he put in his hand and pulled out a great hammer, but the handle of the hammer was an inch too short. Now this hammer was so powerful that no one, not even a frost giant, could resist its force, and it would smash a mountain as easily as it would an eggshell. So Brock, when he knew all that was to be known, took the 3 gifts and hastened away to Asgard to pit them against those of Loki, who had just returned. Enthroned in a circle sat the Asas, and in the midst, as judges of the gifts, sat Odin, Thor, and Frey. Loki of the red beard and cunning eye, bringing forward the magic spear, bowed low to Odin, saying,
"Here, brother Odin, is a spear that will never miss its mark."
Then he turned to Frey and handed him the magic ship, saying,
"Here is a ship which will never lack a fair wind wherever you wish to go. And though you may fold it up and carry it in your pocket, it will hold all the gods of Asgard and their steeds besides."
But to Thor he gave the golden web of hair and said nothing, for he feared him. Then Brock stood forth and produced his treasures, saying,
"Here, mighty Odin, is a ring that will produce 9 other gold rings every ninth night."
Odin laughed with joy and said,
"Spears I have in abundance, but with this ring I shall never want for gold."
Next, Brock opened the heavy bag with which his shoulders were burdened, and out of it fell the golden boar, which he laid before Frey, saying,
"Here, gold Frey, is a boar that will carry you through the air or over the sea. And wherever you go on its back, the sky will be lighted up by its golden bristles."
Then Frey laughed with joy, saying,
"Better sport it is to ride on a golden boar than in a ship."
Lastly, Brock drew out the short-handled hammer named Mjolnir. And this he gave to Thor, saying,
"Most powerful one, here is a hammer whose blows nothing can withstand, not even mountains or frost giants. And however far you throw it, this hammer will always return to your hand."
Then Thor jumped from his seat, joyfully crying out,
"Better than the golden hair of Sif is a weapon against which none of my enemies can stand. Brothers, let us decide this wager forthwith. And for me, I give my vote in favor of the gifts of Brock.
Then the gods and goddesses put their heads together and came to the conclusion that the hammer of Thor was worth all the gifts of Loki twice over. For with it, they could be protected against the frost giants, who were always their secret dread. So they decided,
Brock has won the wager. Let Loki lose his head.
Much dismayed, Red Loki offered to pay a huge ransom, but of this, Brock would not hear. Then Loki pretended to give in.
Come and take me then,
he cried. But when the dwarf tried to seize him, he was already far away, for he wore the shoes with which he could run through the air and over the sea. And knowing that he could never catch him, Brock was beside himself with rage. Looking round him, he saw that, though the others had dispersed, Thor was still playing with his new hammer, smashing a mountain here and a great tree there.
Mighty Thor, will you do something for me in return for my gift? Bring to me that fellow who has broken his word, that I may slay him forthwith.
With a nod of his great hand, Thor jumped into his goat chariot, and was soon thundering through the air after wicked Loki. Driving with the speed of lightning, he quickly overtook the fugitive, whose plea for help, however, touched him, so that he relented and bethought him of a way in which he might save his life. Justice must be done, however, so he dragged the culprit back to Asgard and gave him over to Brock. But he warned the dwarf that although the head of Loki was rightfully his, he must not touch his neck. Now Brock could not possibly cut off the one without touching the other. So he bethought him of another plan. He would at any rate sew up the bragging lips that had caused so much trouble and told so many lies since all things began. So he took a strong piece of string and bored holes with his auger, and firmly stitched up the lips of Red Loki, and broke off the thread at the end of the sewing. For a time after, there was peace in Asgard, and this would have lasted for long, had not Loki managed at length to cut the string, when he became as talkative as ever. And this is the end of the tale of how Loki made a wager with the dwarfs.
The end.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. Next time on the Junior Classics, we'll hear the tale, The Apples of Youth. Until next time, I am Sir Bradley Hassey. Be brave, be loyal, and speak the truth.
For you parents out there, I want you to understand why we are doing this, what we are trying to achieve, and how you can help us. This is a rescue operation to preserve the classics and the wisdom within before it is lost forever. Our goal is to inspire children with a love of good reading by safeguarding and breathing new life into the greatest stories in history and empower you, the parents, with a resource you can trust to enrich your child's mind and spirit. We don't want these stories and the wisdom within to be forgotten, so our children don't have to learn these lessons on their own. The most important thing you can do for us is to spread the message and tell others about these stories and what we are doing. If you want to donate, we would love that as well. My promise is that 100% of donations will go to building the impact and quality of the Junior Classics. If you have feedback and thoughts on how we can do things better, please send an email to juniorclassicspodcast@gmail.com.
You're listening to the Junior Classics.